Tyler, Brother Smith, whoever. God is really, really blessing us in a great way. Amen. Praise God. James chapter 3, if you will. James chapter 3. James 3, start with verse 1, well-known passage of Scripture. You ready for it? Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, praise the Lord. If, that's a big word, isn't it? Two little letters, but it's such a big word. Say if. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life, say whole life. It can set your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. Some translations read, it will burn in hell. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who had been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. The question here, does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does the fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Can you say amen? God bless you as you're seated. Amen. Sister Merlot didn't know what I was going to teach on tonight. But what a perfect setting as we spoke the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friend, the name of Jesus is beautiful. The name of Jesus, when we call on His name, he that calleth on the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke devils. In the name of Jesus, we cast out demons. In the name of Jesus, we bring healing to lives and spirits. It's a beautiful thing to call on the name of Jesus. James says, one moment we call on His name, one moment we bless, we praise our Lord and Father, and the next moment, we are cursing those who are made in the image of God. Brothers and sisters, this is not right. Okay. We're going to talk about the incongruence of salty and sweet water. That looks beautiful, doesn't it? That's a real picture. I believe. Sure looks like a bunch of other real pictures. Anyone know what this is? Looks like snow, doesn't it? Hint, it's not snow. Anyone guess what the white is? Pardon? It's not sand. Salt. Putting two and two together, where might this be? Pardon me? Not Salt Lake City, oh, it could be. This is the Dead Sea, also known as the Salt Sea or the Sea of Death. It looks beautiful. Nothing lives in there in the way of fish. The only thing that can live in those waters is algae and other lesser desirable microorganisms. Salt content of the Dead Sea is so concentrated, they say the water is, it feels oily. It is thick. You've seen pictures of people floating on the top of the Dead Sea? The buoyancy of the Dead Sea is incredible because of the extremely high salt content. The reason for that extremely high salt and mineral content is because the Jordan feeds into the Dead Sea, but it goes nowhere. It has no outlet. The water comes and it stagnates. Science lesson. Why are oceans salty and not lakes or rivers? Trick question. The answer is lakes and rivers are salty. It's just that they contain a minuscule amount of salt compared to the ocean. The oceans are fed by all of the rivers of the world, which collect minerals and salt from the rocks, from the seashore, from the river banks. This water is drawn or is rushed, it carries silt and sediment and salt and minerals into the ocean. And the combination of all of these rivers carrying all of the, what we would call contaminants, if you will, the dirt, the rocks, and it actually leaches out salt from the rocks in the riverbeds, and the rocks along the seashore leach salt into the ocean. All of this salt is dumped into the waters of the ocean and has nowhere to go, just like the Dead Sea. On a much larger scale. So the oceans begin to, not begin, they were made that way by God. The oceans contain an extremely high salt content compared to a river or a lake. How many gallons of salt water can you drink, do you think, before you die? Any guesses? About 2 gallons of salt water will kill you. It does not hydrate you, it dehydrates you. It works against you. If you're stranded out in the ocean, don't think you can drink the seawater and survive. They say maybe 6 days of barely drinking water along the way, and your body shuts down. It's not good water. If you go to the Dead Sea, they say it's tremendously healthy, healthful benefits to bathe in the waters of the Dead Sea because of all the mineral content. But they give several warnings. They say if you are going to bathe in the Dead Sea, and there are resorts, there are hotels, there are all this entertainment industry built around corrosion and toxicity, People fly from around the world and pay a lot of money to stay in hotels facing this because it looks beautiful. But it's not so beautiful when you get into it. When you get into the waters, they say you recommend wearing sandals because the salt gathering, the settles along the seashore, and it can have really sharp edges. You can cut your feet. If you're silly enough to wear any kind of jewelry, anything silver, it will corrode and turn black almost immediately. And if you swallow even 3 or 4 mouthfuls of water, you'll probably die. It looks so pretty, but it's dead. And it's not just dead, it's corrosive. It tarnishes anything beautiful. It attacks anything organic. I wonder if this is what James was thinking about when he wrote his analogy. When he said, sometimes the tongue praises our Lord and Father, sometimes it curses those who are made in the image of God. So blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter or salty water? I wonder if he was thinking about the Dead Sea. Have you ever taken a mouthful of salt water by mistake? Isn't that disgusting? Have you ever gargled with salt water because you had a sore throat? Anybody? You did? Yes? Come on. Nobody else has ever gargled? Oh, there's okay. There you go. Have you ever, by accident, swallowed some of that water? What's your reaction when you do? It's gross. It is not pleasant. If I were to open this bottle of water, purified drinking water, it tastes pretty good. If it had salt in it, you think I'd be pleased? But wait. That's good. Oh, salty. Is that possible? Either it's sweet or it's salty. There's nothing in between, my friends. It's easy to add salt into water. Is it easy to get salt back out of the water? They build desalination plants trying to reclaim seawater, and they're able to turn it into sweet water. But each desalination plant costs billions of dollars, and the produces very little in comparison with other natural sources of water. Once water is infiltrated by the salt and by the minerals, it is almost impossible to get it clean again. My friend, when our souls contaminate our tongue, it's hard to get it clean. Salty water doesn't become salty for no reason. It has something mixed in it that makes it salty. Have you ever drunk from a well that didn't taste quite right? Unique experience, isn't it? That's not right, is it? Turn on the faucet and salt water comes out. Some wells become stale They are contaminated by high iron content. Other minerals can contaminate, leach into the water, or if you're close to the coast, you actually get the salt water breaching the fresh springs. Fresh springs. All right, so it's a talk. Amen. God, when He fills us with His Spirit, when He cleanses us, when He makes us His children, He does not leave salt or algae or iron or any other contaminant inside of us. He makes us new creatures in Christ. So how is it then that a child of God, born again, Holy Ghost filled, child of God, can spew forth bitterness, anger, even cursings? Does that come from the Spirit of God? It comes because you allow contamination to enter your spirit. Jesus said, from the abundance of what? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's going on in your heart will determine whether your speech is sweet or salty. And yes, there's a reason they call it salty language. Amen. All right. So, God's will is that our tongues sing and speak the praises of God. And yet that tongue, being as difficult to control as it is, it's small, but it's restless. It's a world of wickedness. It corrupts the entire body. Have you ever seen somebody lose their job because they couldn't keep their mouth shut? I have. I've seen really good careers ruined because somebody just couldn't control their tongue. When people get mad, they begin to talk. When people get sad, sometimes they begin to talk. When people get drunk, then they can really talk, right? James said if we could control our tongue, we would be perfect. In other words, there would be no way for the devil to corrupt us if we could just control our tongue. But nobody can. Everybody has trouble with the tongue. And you can say amen because you're a human being and you're still on this earth. We all struggle with the tongue from time to time. The tongue can speak lies. The tongue can speak anger and bitterness. The tongue can speak curses. The tongue can speak slander. The tongue can, yeah. There are a lot of bad things the tongue can do if it is not controlled by God. And just FYI, there is a reason why God chose speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, as the sign, one of the signs that you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is a sign of the ultimate surrender to God because we can't control the tongue, but He can. Amen. Can you say amen to that? All right. All right, so we've established that blessing and cursing should not come out of the same mouth. I was going to say could not, but guess what? It does. So let's stick with should not. You okay with that? Blessing and cursing should not come out of the same mouth. Sunday, Holy Ghost Day. Monday, Watch out. Shouldn't happen, guys. Whatever we say out there, we should be perfectly comfortable saying in here. Should be one and the same. Shouldn't be a double standard with God. Shouldn't be, well, this is Sunday speak, this is church speak, and then this is work speak, or this is family speak, or whatever else. I was thinking about this. The Lord reminded me of what he said in Luke chapter 6. Go with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 and 27. But to you who are willing to listen, anyone willing to listen to God? Everyone else gets another second chance. Are you willing to listen to God? Amen. Praise God. To you who are willing to listen, I say, love. Love who? Come on, help me out. Love who? You have your Bibles. Luke chapter 6. Love your enemies. Say enemies. Didn't say tolerate your enemies. Didn't say get along with your enemies. It said love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Now, before I keep reading, let me explain the context of what Jesus is talking about. He's trying to contrast for us how God treats us. Because we, in our sinful nature, curse God, and yet He blesses us. We disregard God, and yet He loves us. He's saying, I want you to be like your Father, which is in heaven. I want you to pattern your life and your speech, your actions, after God's way of dealing with you. To do that, you must be willing to love your enemies. Counterintuitive. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. There is no way you and I could ever do this without the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen. It goes against everything in our natures. But Jesus said, turn it around. If somebody is cursing you, verse 28, what are you supposed to do? You bless them. Bless them that curse you. In this world, we have a rash of road rage. We have a rash of shootings. We have a rash of violence. We have a rash of people fighting domestic violence, spiraling out of control. Neighbors, killing neighbors. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. But it hurt. That's the point. I know when we're hurt, we tend to lash out. What happens when you step on a dog by accident, hopefully? What happens? What happens, Sister Beverly, when a dog gets his leg, shoulder dislocated, and you try to help him? He's probably going to bite. It's a natural reaction to lash out, right? It's not that the dog becomes vicious all of a sudden. When a dog is in pain, watch out. You're probably going to get bitten. Not just dogs. Cats will do it too. Parrots will do it too. Amen. So when we're hurt, we naturally tend to lash back. And it becomes a competition sometimes. Anyone heard about whataboutism? Anyone heard the term whataboutism? It's when you try to argue with me, and I say, yeah, but what about that? And you say, but no, this, that, yeah, but what about that? And we begin to turn it into a match. You accuse me of something, and I say, yeah, but what about what you did? And we escalate. We try to get more cutting. We try to get more, try to hit harder. When you're boxing, Pastor, you can pull your punches and not try to hurt somebody, right? You can. But then you say, play time's over, and you start hitting hard. We're like that in our arguments sometimes, folks, are we not? We quit pulling punches and we start hitting hard. And we start saying things to hurt each other. We start trying to embarrass somebody with our words. We start trying to destroy their spirit, destroy their reputation. It's ugly. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. Is that speaking literally? Maybe. Some translators believe that it refers to the term we use, slap on the cheek, slap in the face. When you say you got a slap in the face, it's more likely somebody said something really cutting or hurtful about you, not necessarily a physical slap. Jesus said if somebody slaps you in the face, turn the other cheek, say, hit me again. Give to anyone who asks. Don't take this out of context, guys, please. Don't go crazy. We need to help those, anyone we can. But there are some that we don't help because they're professional. Hate to say this world, but they're professional beggars. There are some folks that have been showing up and we've been turning them away. They're professional beggars. They're grifters, most likely, many cases. I'm not accusing those folks. I'm just telling you the things that go around. You know it. So it's not saying that if anyone asks you something, you just give it blindly. I'd like your tablet, sir, please. Thank you. I like your glasses, please. I like your shoes, please. No. Listen to what Jesus is saying. He says, turn it around. Just like your Father gives you what you don't deserve. Your Father forgives you when you don't deserve to be forgiven. Your Father loves you when you are unlovable. You need to treat others the same way. Show the love of God in your actions towards them. Give to anyone who asks when things are taken away from you. Don't try to get them back. No, that doesn't mean if somebody steals something from you. No, it's talking about the principle of not seeking retribution for everything. Right. Do to others, verse 31. Do to others. You there? Anyone have Luke 6 and 31? You need to, if it's paper, underline it. If it's electronic, bookmark it. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Now, if you love only those who love you, why should you get any credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. Oh, I love my brothers and sisters. I'm such a good Christian. I love you all. Why do you think you're going to get any credit from God if you love those who love you? I mean, you should love those who love you. But you're not going to get any brownie points with God. Because it's easy. It's natural to love those that love you. But if you can channel that same love towards somebody who hates you, somebody who talks evil of you, someone who treats you badly, someone who lies about you, someone who's trying to tear you down, and you show them the love of God instead of anger back at them, you got credit with God. If you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Pause for just a moment. Don't say anything out loud. Do not say anything out loud. Think for just a moment. Have you ever run across somebody who fits that description? Unthankful and wicked. Don't say a name. Do not say a name. Come on, anybody? Wave your hand, say yes. You know somebody who is unthankful and wicked? Come on, only three people. Sure, okay, there we got one. Nobody else knows anyone who's wicked and ungrateful? Come on, think harder. Raise your hand. Do you know somebody? Have you known somebody wicked and unthankful? Come on. You don't know many people then. Come on, seriously. You can say yes. Okay, now we're getting some honesty. Good. Those are not the people who typically get our Christmas cards. They're not the ones you make tamales for and take it over and say, oh, I love you so much, here, have some tamales. They're the ones you avoid. They're the ones, if you see them coming this way, it's like, see you later. Jesus said, your Father is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. And a key tenet, he starts when he describes the situation, he starts with saying, bless those who curse you. Love your enemies, do good to those, and bless those who curse you. If you do not bless, if you allow cursing to come out of your soul, out of your mouth, you're no better than this beautiful but corrosive and absolutely dead. Dead Sea. There's a reason why some churches look perfect. And they got big buildings. And they got a massive choir. And they got all the trappings and they look beautiful. But they're dead. Did you hear me? I said they're dead. The Dead Sea is beautiful. But it's not pleasant to be around. Not for a long period of time. You may visit it. You may stay at a resort. But you're not going to live there because it's dead. And it's corrosive. It will eat away at even you. If you stay in that water too long, no, it's not a good thing. One more scripture. Let's go quickly to Matthew chapter 5. He culminates, and this is the same, probably the same teaching as what we see recorded in Luke chapter 6. Same tenets here. Matthew 5 and 43. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That was what they had been taught. Aren't most people taught that? Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And that way you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good. And He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors, even the IRS does that. God bless you. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even the pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So let's go back as we close to James chapter 3. Once again, verse 7, forward. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one, say no one, no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil. Tell you what, folks, when the tongue gets inflamed, anyone ever felt the pain of arthritis? There's some good days, right, where you don't feel any pain at all? And then just like that, it flares up. And when that pain hits, your whole body hurts. And when the tongue inflames, it corrupts everything about you. People's demeanor changes. The way they walk changes. The way they talk changes. When that infection, that inflammation that comes directly from hell, so James says, when you begin, I say you, hopefully it's not you, when any one of us begins to speak angry, defamatory, cutting words, you just tapped in to the pit of hell. And you are being influenced directly from the pit of hell. And then we turn off the hell spigot. And we turn on the heaven spigot, and everything's good again. That sound right? Kitchen in there has two faucets, right? One spigot, but two faucets. Hot and cold. What if that sink had one spigot titled heaven and the other titled hell? And what if somehow they were plumbed to where the heaven pipe literally went to heaven? And you could turn on that spigot and the blessings of God would come straight from the throne room of God. Wouldn't that be cool? But the other side, just right there, how far apart are those faucets? The other side right over there has plumbing into the burning slime pit of hell. And if you turned on that spigot, suddenly it begins to gush forth the demons and the filth of hell. How many would be turning on the hell spigot? Crazy, Pastor. No, no one, no. That's right. But when we allow our tongue to become inflamed by hell, that's James' words, not mine, we might as well have that plumbing straight from the pit of hell, and it just gushes forth the vileness that comes from the enemy of our souls. We need to call a plumber and get rid of that spigot. We need to get rid of that entirely. I only want the one that brings the blessing of God. I know that sounds silly, but that's essentially what James is saying, guys. When we bless our Father, our God, when we sing the praises, when we pray, when we call on His name, it is a beautiful thing. How is it that the same tongue can become inflamed by hell and begin to dredge up things? I don't know if the devil can blush, but I've heard some things that if the devil could blush, he would be blushing. And the sad thing is, I've heard it from the mouths of Christians who should be speaking the sweetness and the glories of God. Amen. Kind of a somber lesson tonight, I know, but we're going into Christmas time, family time, and as much as we love our families, guess what happens so often when families get together? Who said that? You're right. Amen. What better time to fight than when families are together? I asked one of my employees how his Thanksgiving was. He said, "Oh, it's okay." I said, "Yeah, you know how it is when families get together." And he said, "Yeah, and you got a couple of bottles of wine and yeah." Just... Guys, let's let the Holy Ghost bless our tongues. Amen. Let's let the power of the Holy Ghost turn off the hell spigot. He can cap it off. We can't control it, but He can. But it takes a prayer. It takes a surrender. It takes us saying, "God, I want my tongue to be free from the irritation of hell. And I want it to be full of the blessings of the Holy Ghost. I want my words to be seasoned with salt. Not the salt of the salt Dead Sea. I'll tell you what. There's some food that's just not right unless it has a little bit of salt. Just a little bit of the right words can change somebody's life. A few right words can comfort a broken heart. A few right words can set somebody on a right path. It's going down a dark path can set them, bring them back to a right way. Just a few right words, just a few good words can change somebody's life. And if you never change somebody else's life, you can change your life with a few good words." I want our prayer to be this season as we draw to the end. Hard to believe we're almost at the end of 2023. As we draw to the end of this year, Lord, set a watch on my lips. Put a lock, put a guard on my lips. Stand if you will. Can you imagine having an angel walking right beside you and watching? I'd say something. Watch out. Can you imagine if God would literally assign an angel to stare at your mouth? Every word you say. You want to go back and really, you want to tell God about that? You sure? If you could actually see an angel hovering on your shoulder, watching every word you said, That would be unnerving, wouldn't it? But it also changed a lot of the things that people say. It would eliminate a lot of things people say. The psalmist said, set a watch on my mouth. Watch over me, God. Remind me when I begin to say things that are not pleasant, say things that are not uplifting, say things that are not meant for blessing. Remind me, Lord. Remind me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost remind us. Amen. Let God, we don't need an angel hover over our shoulder. We got the Holy Ghost in our hearts. Amen. He will teach us. He will remind us. If you ask God, He'll nudge your spirit when you start saying things that are not the way they need to be said. God, help me bring it to my mind. Amen. I want God to interrupt our speech over the next 3 weeks as we wind down this year. Every time we start getting irritated, every time we start getting angry, every time we start saying something we shouldn't say, I want the Holy Ghost to get a hold of our heart and say, remember, James chapter 3. Amen. I want the Spirit of God to nudge us every single time. If God does that enough, I think that we would learn a little lesson. Amen. But we got to listen. I want us to pray. If you will, just raise your hands right where you are. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, teach us to be your children, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to do as you, our Father in heaven, do. You treat your enemies with kindness. You, Lord, you bless those who cursed you. They mocked you on the cross. They said he saved others. He cannot save himself. One of those thieves mocked you. Said, if you're the Son of God, come off the cross. Deliver us as well. But the scripture said, as the lamb led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. Lord, you did not respond to the jeers. You did not respond to the curses. The only thing you said to them in response to them was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Forgive them, Father. God, help us to follow your example. Teach us, Lord. I know it's so hard to control the tongue. It is impossible under a human energy to control the tongue. But Lord, with God, all things are possible. Amen. Your Spirit gives us the ability to yield ourselves to you. I pray, Lord, that you cleanse our spirits this season. As we draw towards the end of this year, Lord, help there to be that inspection power of the Holy Ghost. Seek our hearts, Lord Jesus. Search our spirits, Lord. Cleanse us of the angers. Cleanse us of the bitterness. Cleanse us of the things that come out of our mouth that should not come out, God. Lord, as we stand here in your glorious presence, we feel your love in this house. We call on your name. We speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, let these tongues that speak your praises not be tainted by the inflammation of hell. Cleanse us, Lord, and cleanse us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Uproot those things that cause our tongues to become inflamed. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, examine us. Empower us through your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Let the power of the blood of Jesus cleanse every sin, cleanse every tongue, cleanse every spirit. God, let sweet waters bubble out of our soul. Erase the salt. Take away the stench of the minerals and the things that contaminate.